Wonderful. Great. Loretta, won't you stay up here? We're going to interview Mrs. Hamilton again, and we've got some great questions for her. I hope you enjoyed this yesterday. I had a good time just learning about their family, and so that's what we'll do. And here we go. Aren't you glad Miss Hamilton flew here? She was sick, but she came anywhere. Came anyway. Okay. Great. All right. Okay. First question, Miss Hamilton. Why is it that the California Baptist Ladies Conference is your favorite conference of all conferences?
There's no question in my mind. It's the people.
Oh.
It is the people. I have the privilege this week. Okay. I have the privilege this week. It's the people is what I said. I have the privilege of staying with Loretta and JoJo. Can you imagine? It's been a treat, and Pastor Mike Ray has been a blessing to us. After our Jonathan died, he sent a card, and there's a picture of a young man. You just see the back of him with Jesus, his arms around him, welcoming him into heaven. And Ron kept that in his briefcase. It's in the book. The picture of it's in the book, but he's. I mean, he's so fun, and I say it starts from the top down. Right. It just kind of filters down like a domino effect to all the people, the leadership, and it's the people.
Wow, isn't that great? And you're the people. I think that's some in the Constitution. We the people.
Something yes. Like
this is now
we
a political
the people of Hopewell Baptist Church.
So, Shelley, when after you got married, y'all had kids, did y'all take vacations? If so, kind of what was that like? Where did y'all go?
Usually our vacations were wrapped up with meetings. And one time that I remember distinctly, we had Jonathan. He would have been, 10, I think, and Tara, 9, and Alyssa, 7, and Megan was a newborn. And he decided we'll do a West Coast trip tour, and we stopped in Colorado on the way, and then went all up and down California. Anyway, he did one night meetings. Okay, we would get to the meeting, set up our table, do the meeting, take pictures with Patch afterwards, pack up the table, go to a hotel with a newborn baby. Because she was born in April, so this was June. Okay, so she would cry some in the night, and we're all in one room usually. And then we would try to sleep in a little bit, and he had scheduled every day somewhere special for us to go. We would probably earliest get there at 11 or noon and then leave at 3 to go to the next meeting. So we went to Disneyland. SeaWorld, Knott's Berry Farms, the San Diego Zoo. We were there about 2 hours each. And I remember the first night I sat down on the bed and I just cried. I said, I cannot do this. And it was the beginning of 3 weeks. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
So then you're saying that Patch was a driven man.
Not in personality, but in that way. I think he learned from that. But, no, he was very, he was laid back and very gentle, not mamby-pamby kind of guy, but never lost his temper. And
Say that again. Say that again.
He never lost his temper. He'd just get quiet. That's when I knew something was bothering him.
Was that for weeks on end? Or just a little time?
No.
How about favorite restaurants? Did your family or you and Ron have favorite restaurants as you traveled that you really, really like to eat at?
Oh, when we traveled, probably Cracker Barrel, I guess. At home, we didn't travel. I mean, we didn't eat out much because we had 5 children. In fact, this is a little bit of a funny story. Ron would always say, you know, we can't afford it. Or if we went to S&S Cafeteria, where the kids got a 99-cent meal, he'd say, no drinks, you know, just water, no dessert. And so when we have 3 that were 17 months apart and then 21 months apart, and then 7 years, and then Megan, and then 3 years, and Jason. So when we sat the older three kids down to tell them that I was pregnant with Megan, Alyssa, our third child, started crying. And we said, "What's wrong, honey?" We thought she'd be so excited. She said, "But we're so poor. What will we eat? We won't have anything to wear." And it's because Ron always said, "We can't afford that." You know, so she thought we were so poor that now we have another one to feed.
I love that. Children say, "Oh, they say the most wonderful thing."
I know. What they think, you just don't know.
You play the piano.
Play
any other instruments?
I think I know what you're going to ask.
What was your first, your worst mess up playing a musical instrument?
Okay, now that's going to be, no, I can tell you the worst. If you play an instrument and you do it by memory, you're going to have some times that, or if you sing even, there's many times you forget the words or whatever. Well, I, at Bob Jones University, where it had a fabulous music program when I was in school back in, way back, 1972 through 1976, and I was a piano performance major. And so they would have a commencement contest at the end of the year for all the different, the singers, the speech, the piano, you know, every instrument. And they would have three finalists, and there were 150 piano majors. So we would have our first runoffs, and then they would pick the top three. And then you would play in front of the whole student body at the end of the year, okay, which was 5,000 people back then. So the freshman year, I got honorable mention. It was Chopin's Scherzo in B-flat minor. I remember it specifically. So honorable mention, I didn't have to play. My sophomore year, I got in the top three, and I didn't win, but two of the three judges, my dad was a faculty member at Bob Jones, two of the three judges said they put me in first place, but I didn't win, so I don't know what, it doesn't matter,
You're not bitter.
I'm not bitter.
Right, good.
Send those judges an encouraging text.
I don't know who they are, Dad didn't tell me. And then the third year, I played a really hard Polonaise, and I didn't win that year, but I was in the top three. So my senior year, I got in the top three again. It was another Chopin Scherzo in A-flat major, and it was 23 pages long. You know, it's by memory. And anyway, my grandma Garlock drove from New Jersey to come see it. And everybody's saying, "Oh, you're going to win this year. This is your senior year, you know, and I'm sure you're going to win." Well, I got the first page didn't go so well. But in all fairness, the piano on the stage of the amphitorium was a hard action. My piano at home was soft. So when I had to do all these finger things, they just weren't coming out real clean. And then on the second page, there was a place where it went almost exactly like to where the last page was, and I went to the last page, and I knew exactly what I had done. I kind of improvised, if you can do that on a Chopin classical piece, back to the second page, and then I finished it out fine, but I knew I had lost. And when I, when we were walking back to our, we lived in Brokenshire 123, because Ron and I were married at the time of my senior year, we got married. And that's where all the married couples lived, on the bottom floor of the boys' dorm. And we were, we were walking back to our dorm room, and my grandma was with me, and I couldn't stop crying. I was so, and beside that, my nerves had been for weeks, you know, like this. So I was uncontrollably crying. We get to the apartment, and my husband and my parents had gone together and bought me a baby grand piano. It was in our dorm room.
Oh.
And I never wanted to see a piano again.
Oh. Is that when you smashed it?
That was my worst.
Loretta, we can relate, huh?
I can't relate 23 pages. I can't memorize one page of anything. Chopsticks? No. Wow.
Let's transition. Your relationship with Ron, first date. When did you know he was the one? And then the first I love you.
Okay. Well, it was my sophomore year in high school when Ron came as a freshman in college. He's 3 years older than I am. And I saw him in my dad's Vesper choir, and he was standing on the top row. And I had dreamed the night before that I wanted to marry, that I married a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man. And so when I went and sat that day and saw in the concert center at Bob Jones, he was up, and I could tell he was singing all the low bass notes. And he was blonde and blue-eyed. And I thought, that's who I want to marry. I never changed my mind. We dated 6 years. Okay, so our first date, though, that summer we both worked at the Wilds. He was a counselor. I was a waitress. And at the beginning of the next year, I was a junior, so I could date him. You couldn't date a college guy when you're until you were a junior in high school. So he asked me out to Red Runs the River. It was a BJU film. And my parents walked me up to the front of the auditorium, and Ron came running like this, like slow motion. You like those movies where you love someone and you're coming together? And it was like, and I was so shy and I was so embarrassed. But, and then he, and then we, anyway, but I loved it. He was so fun. And, and we like your pastor. He's just surprisingly fun. You come up with something that you totally unexpect, but make you laugh. And then we were sitting, waiting for the movie to start, and there was a couple sitting by me that I knew. So I guess I was talking a little bit too much to them. And so I had a wart on my knee right here. And he knew it from the summer somehow. And he started talking to it. Hi, wart. How are you today, wart? Oh, that's so funny.
And you kept dating him after that? She's a good Christian. How many of you are saying?
Anyway, okay.
That's so funny.
First, I love you.
I don't remember.
Okay.
He asked me to marry him, though, after we sang at a Valentine's banquet, like singing minstrels, you know, where you walk. He played the guitar, and we sang duets, and we walked around tables at a Valentine's banquet. We did a lot of Valentine's banquets. And anyway, we went back to my house after, and that's when he asked me to marry him. It was Valentine's Day, and we got married that May 31st, that same year.
That's wonderful. That's great. We're going to shift to a different subject. We know that Karen's husband went to heaven this last year, so we've heard a lot about grief. We've not heard your perspective. I know your son, then your dad, then your husband all passed away. And so can you just walk us through some of what that was like, your journey, maybe when you felt like you could breathe, and just whether all three or one at a time or just in general, just that grief thought?
Well, as I told Loretta asked me yesterday, I think my belief that God is good and that he loved me and he loves each one of you. Sometimes we don't feel it, but it's true, whether we feel it or not, and God is good. And I think coming to grips with that early in Jonathan's schizophrenic journey, really, I just never doubted it again, but I did. I told you yesterday, doubted at the beginning. But I think that got me through. That's number one. Number two, I started 4 years ago, this coming April 21st, writing a daily public Facebook post. And I started it taking one of Ron's songs and writing a devotional about it. And I do it almost every day, and I've done it now for 4 years, and sometimes it's just a funny story, something that's happened. But getting up in the morning, I go right to the coffee maker, get my Nespresso, and then I go have my favorite leather chair. So it's a ritual, really. And I share scripture. I think about Ron's, some of his lyrics, and it just sets my gaze Godward, or something happy, you know, something funny. It sets my day, just like a quiet time would be. So I'm losing my scarf. it sets my day, and that has helped me a lot. it's been more of a blessing for me to do that than to anybody that's been blessed by it. Number three, I think one thing that has really helped me this year is thinking about automatic negative thoughts. Like they call them ants, automatic negative thoughts. And I didn't realize how many times I had that. And when I started recognizing them and calling them out for what they were and changing it around, you know, the Bible says whether there be, what is it? I can't even think. Pure, a good report. Think on these things. I think it's Philippians 4:8, maybe. When I started changing that and recognizing those, like, oh, I don't think I can make it today. You know, like, I haven't felt so well this week. And it would tend for me to say, oh, why did I come? Oh, I should be home in bed. You know, instead of thinking that, I think, oh, God, you're going to bless me this week. You had me come for a reason. You just flip it to something that is positive. And it's just that it's a biblical principle to think on positive things. Things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So that has helped me a lot to flip any negative thoughts to positive. I mean, sometimes, you know, like right after your loved one dies or something, you can't think of anything positive. You're just in grief. But, you know, grief pays no heed to time. It stays for a while. It gets a little easier, but unexpected meltdowns become expected.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. You know, and I thought, Karen, with you yesterday, there's one other thing I wanted to mention that has helped me is Ron's sister, Marty, has Meniere's disease. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but it's a balance problem with your inner ear. And when she has an episode, she doesn't know which way is up and which way is down. So she says she has to find a solid object, like an end table or a sofa, and put her hand on it. And that gives her the security and the confidence, okay, that is down. Okay, and she puts her hand on that till her mind becomes stable and she knows. And that's just the same way with God. Oh. If we put our hand in the hand of God, it stabilizes us because He is unchanging, immovable. And when we don't know which way is up and our world around us is spinning, which there are going to be episodes of that, that's you place your hand in your unmovable God.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Wow. That just those points. I can't wait to share them with Jeannie. Thank you so much.
Shelley, when you wrote the book, Good, Always Good, I'm sure I messed up the title already, but about your son, I texted you that it was probably one of the top 10 books I'd read in a long, 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 long time. Do you think writing that book helped you with your grief? I know you're starting one about Ron, a biography about him. Would you share that?
Yes, I think writing about it, it's very hard. I'm writing Ron's biography right now, and I have daily tears thinking about how he was before he got dementia. Because when he had dementia, he was so different. He had frontotemporal dementia, which changes your behavior, your language. And God gave him, for 40 years, the gift of writing lyrics and poems and texts. And after 40 years, that was the gift taken away from him with his dementia. So God gave him that window. That was the window God planned. When he, if I start rambling too much, but when he got cancer in his left eye, it was at the back of the eyeball. And the doctors told us when we take the eyeball out, if we see any in his brain, there won't be anything we can do for him. It was melanoma, and it's very fast growing. But if it stayed in the eyeball, self-contained, he could have a long life. So anyway, they took it out. They didn't see any signs of it. And then God gave him that 40-year window before dementia. But what I want to say is I met a lady about 10 years ago. Her husband had the same melanoma cancer. And they told her the same thing. And they got it out. They said it's self-contained in the eyeball. But a year later, he had died. It had gone to his lymph nodes, and they didn't know it. And that could have been my Ron. 3 years after we were married, I could have lost him. But God had a different plan. Patch the pirate. Only God.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to. So you've buried three loved ones. Was there anything?
My mother the year before my dad with dementia. She had dementia.
I didn't even know that. Was there anything special y'all put on the tombstones out of the ordinary that you'd like to share?
Well, on Jonathan's, I put, see you soon with some music notes because he wrote beautiful songs, our Jonathan. The last 7 years of his life, he was on a combination of three medicines that helped him function partway. And he sat down, loved to play the piano, wrote beautiful melodies. One is You Are Always Good. And you are always good, you are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, help my heart believe. You are always only good. And I just put see you soon, because he was just 34. On Ron's, we put rejoice in the Lord. And rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path I went too high that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
We believe Shelley has come forth as gold. I know that for sure. Shelley, this is your last day with us, and then you're flying back to Acapulco or wherever you live now.
Jolly Roger.
She lives on a boat in some boat harbor somewhere. It's a lot cheaper. But you didn't get a different session besides these interviews. Any advice you want to give these ladies on the West Coast and those that have flown in from out of state? Just kind of a pat on the back and here's what I want you to do this year, or maybe wrap up something you've heard. Just some last minute advice.
Well, the two things I can think of are two things. One thing that Ron said, and one thing somebody else said to me when he was in dementia. The first one was about 7 years into his dementia. We went to a success in aging doctor, and he was going through all the things that we would be facing, you know, and it was pretty dark. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Ron was hardly putting sentences together, you know. And so when we left the office, I thought, oh, I'm going to cheer him up. And I said, honey, do you know how many people you have blessed with your songs? And Ron said, I'd like to think God did it. And then the last thing, I don't know if this is what you were looking for, but the last thing, the night... The night before Ron passed, thank you. The night before Ron passed, I got a call from Attorney David Gibbs, who's been a good friend. And he said, Shelley, if all you ever did was take care of this great man of God, your life would have been worth it.
Powerful. We thank you for helping found the Pets the Pirate Ministries, blessing our church, our kids, our grandkids. our nation, our world. I can't wait to see what rewards Jesus gives to you and your husband one day. I never met your son. Can't wait to meet him. It's going to be a great time. One day we'll never say goodbye. We'll never end the conference. We'll just hang out for all eternity. Give her a big hand, would you please?